Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You need to create explosive plays.
You got to be smart. You want to be versatile. The more ways that we can line you up in different spots, whether you're inside, outside, are you smart enough to play more than one spot? Those are high value things that we think are very important.
3 years they've been telling me about boards.
To hell with boards.
Throw them out.
We're done with boards.
We're done with their boards.
No boards, all trains.
The Buffalo Bills select Josh Allen, Gregory Rousseau, Kair Elam, Dalton Kincaid. The Buffalo Bills select.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
I heard the train horn make an appearance on One Bills Live yesterday. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
They're rocking really? The train horn.
That to the horn itself?
Yeah, which, you know what, I think it might be theirs anyway, and I've been borrowing it. We've been borrowing it.
They do play it in the stadium. Well, yeah. It came from some train at some point.
Okay, so, good morning. It's draft day. We'll keep you covered. We got it here throughout the day. Draft coverage tonight. We will check in from our draft party. Sal Capaccio will be at the stadium, of course, waiting to find out what the Bills do. The draft is going to be in Detroit, and, well, have a good time. Come to our draft party. If you got nothing else going on, listen, a couple different things could happen. One, just an absurd amount of high fives. Mm-hmm. Two, you know, we all walk out telling each other, like, all right, you know, yeah, that defensive player might make a good difference. We're going to like that guy. We're not going to be mad. Might be mad. But, you know, we'll have a good time. We'll be at Resurgence. Come to the draft party. Come hang out. Anyway, that said, Joe Marino posted on April 9th, Joe Marino, Lockdown Bills podcast, the top 10 highest paid NFL receivers and where they were selected in the draft.
Uh-huh.
Number one, Tyreek Hill, fifth round. Davante Adams, second round. Mm-hmm. Cooper Kupp, third round. A.J. Brown, second. DK Metcalf, second. Deebo Samuel, second. Michael Pittman, second. Calvin Ridley, first. Terry McLaurin, third. And Stephon Diggs, fifth. So what you had in there is one first rounder.
Mm-hmm.
5 second-rounders, 2/3, and 2/5.
Okay.
That does kind of show you first two rounds. And the first two rounds have been a sweet spot for many years.
Right.
The difference, I think, between this year and other years is we pointed this out. I think DK Metcalf was wide receiver 5 in his draft.
No, he was. I think he was later than that.
Okay, there's
Metcalf.
A.J. Brown. Was A.J. Brown.
Yeah, because Metcalf was wide receiver 9.
Okay, wide receiver 9.
A.J. Brown was wide receiver 4.
Okay, there you go.
And he won the second round.
In some classes, wide receiver 4 goes 10th.
Right.
In some classes, wide receiver 4 goes in the second. Some years, there might be more of a need. Anyway, the point I wanted to get to is this. So he points out, you know, a couple of fifths, a bunch of seconds, a third, and one first. And Amon-Ra St. Brown, by the way, has jumped onto this list. He's a fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Also jumping into this list of top 10 paid receivers is Devonta Smith. First.
Yep.
And look at the next group of receivers to get paid. I don't think Joe is wrong to point this out, but I want to look at what's happening now and what's happening in the next few years. If I were to ask you for the list of the top 10 paid receivers in 2 years,
mm-hmm.
would it not include CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, Brandon Ayuk, Ja'Marr Chase, Garrett Wilson,
mm-hmm.
Jalen Waddle, T. Higgins, Drake London, Chris mm-hmm. Olave.
Yeah, that sounds realistic.
That's all firsts and seconds.
Right.
And Higgins is the only second.
And he was the first pick of the second.
Right, first pick of the second.
Those guys are all taken in the top 33 of the draft.
Yep.
And they are all tracking to be well-compensated number one receivers. The point I'm getting at is, like, part of the math of this and part of the conversation here is about the money you save by taking the position. You should take one of the first to save money.
Yep.
Because it's so expensive. What did Gabe get? Gabe Davis got a $50 million contract.
Yeah.
He's pretty good. So I think it's worth pointing out that we are at the start of, or maybe a few years in, is where I think the Bills are late and why receiver has been so desperate this year, is because they should have been doing this for years. But they got a, you know, a good tight end. Okay, great. The top 10 receivers in the next 2 years are all going to be first and second round picks. Maybe Puka Nacua can jump in there too as a fifth.
Yep. Well, also, too, I'm looking at the past history of first-round receivers. There's a volume point here also in that, like, this is why it's kind of tough to look at, like, top 10 salary right now because of the rookie wage scale. You have to wait a couple of years, right? So who are the receivers that are getting paid right now or in the last couple of years that are going to be high on that list? It's the guys that got picked between, like, let's say 2017 and 2019. Right? The 19 class is the guys that just got paid like in the last year or two. So those 3 years, in those 3 years total, how many receivers went in the first round? 7. In the three drafts combined, the next 3 years, and these are the guys you're talking about that are about to get paid, Lamb, Jefferson, Ayuk, that's the 2020 class up to 2022.
You had 7 receivers in 3 years?
Yeah. From 17 to 19, there were 7 receivers total that got picked in the first round. The next 3 years, the 3 years that are yet to be paid, 20 through 22, 17 receivers in the first round.
Yeah.
So there wasn't as much opportunity for first-round receivers to get into that top 10 because there just weren't as many. There were less than half. And the guys that are about to get paid, sure, you're a misses, right? There's Rager on there. There's Treylon Burks on there. But there are so many more first-round picks that now the list is going to look different because teams are now, well, there could be two things. They're prioritizing receiver more because they're realizing the premium of it. And yep. Two, you've just probably had better wide receiver classes. And this year is supposed to be one of those classes. We're relating everything to this year. And I don't like comparing past classes from way back in the first place. But I had a middle stretch there where the first round receivers, 20, and they weren't even going that high. Marquise Brown went 25th. N'Keal Harry went 32nd. DJ Moore and Calvin Ridley went 24th and 26th. The year before that, you had, that year there were some high ones. John Ross went 9. Mike Williams went 7. But you had a lot of receivers that went late first round. You didn't even have a lot of high ones.
Yeah.
So you just might have had a 3 year period where it was just a couple bad receiver classes that is kind of skewing everything. And since then, you've had some great receiver classes, and this year's supposed to be another one of those great receiver classes.
Right. In fact, where the top three guys in this class have been said to be the number one pick in any of the classes before it, the last three.
Right.
803-0550. What do you want here? Let's reset our Twitter poll and get rolling. The poll is, the question is, which of the most mocked scenarios do you like the most? I think the four most mocked are a big trade-up for the big three, Brian Thomas Jr., Xavier Worthy, and Adonai Mitchell. 47% like the big trade-up, 35% like Brian Thomas Jr., 14 to Xavier Worthy, and less than 5 for Adonai Mitchell. Now, if this tracks the way that the Buffalo Bills tracked on Josh Allen draft day, Adonai Mitchell's the pick. Because Josh Allen, we asked the last, I remember, I used to have the poll saved. Which quarterback do you want? Allen came in last place with 6%, and they took Allen. And the rest is history. That's another thing. We all kind of know about this. You can feel very strongly tomorrow about something. Reality is, you know, how it turns out for them is ultimately what's important. And I do think this receiver conversation is more than just the names on this giant wide receiver big board. It's the belief that they're going to continue winging the ball all over the field with Josh Allen, which I don't know if we have some sort of crisis, identity crisis about this every year. Oh no, are they going to run it more? We went through that multiple times. Daboll left. Oh man, he was the guy that was committed to passing. Is Dorsey going to run it more? And Dorsey didn't. And Joe Brady did for half a season, but, you know, was that because of necessity? Was that because they didn't feel they had the weapons? Because Davis was in and out of the lineup and hurt, and Diggs was struggling to get open on the similar level. So we have this identity crisis about whether or not they're going to become more of a run-heavy team almost every year, and that's definitely in my mind when I'm saying I'd love to find out they traded up for Odunze. It'd be the biggest investment they've made at the position since Diggs, and when they invested in Diggs, he became the best receiver in football for a stretch. Most targeted, at least. So that's what it is to me. Today you get to see how committed they are to a certain thing. And maybe they want to do something and they can't get there. But you get to see what they're committed to and what seems to them like a good idea. Anthony in Buffalo is here. Hey, Anthony, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Happy draft day. So I'm against going up and getting a wide receiver. I feel the Sammy Watkins. This just feels Sammy Watkins to me. And, you know, we reached for the guy, and unfortunately we didn't have a great quarterback to throw to him, but it just feels that way. However, if the wide receiver is such a premium position now, what's to say other teams aren't going to, by the time we even get to, let's say, the 20th pick, how do we know seven receivers haven't been picked yet if it's such a premium position?
Right, we don't. We'll find out if they are picked that many tonight.
You know, I don't want to stretch. That's the whole thing. I mean, there's so many good players in this draft, and, you know, personally, if the best, if the best safety is still on the board or the second best safety is on the board at 28, I'd prefer doing something along those lines than reaching for a wide receiver that's going to be the eighth person pick.
Well, it's very possible they have the eighth receiver ranked higher than the second safety, though. Okay.
I'm just giving my opinion with you guys as I love listening to you guys, so I like, seeing what you guys think.
Thanks, Anthony. No, yeah. I get that. When it comes to the tiers, it is worth pointing out, you could have 10 receivers ahead of the first safety or the first guard. I mean, that's the thing.
This year might even be realistic for that to be true.
Yeah, we don't get to see the boards. And the difference with the Watkins year, here's the Watkins comparison for this year. The Watkins comparison this year is if the Bears at 9 traded up to 4 for Marvin Harrison Jr.
Right, which is why I can't stand that being used as a comparison Bills move from 28 to go get Rome Odunze.
Well, right. I mean, like, that comparison and that being fresh in the mind of Bills fans, Watkins was a premier talent that didn't really pan out, in part because he didn't have a good quarterback, he couldn't stay healthy. There are a lot of things going on there. But they traded up in a good position to make sure they got the number one guy.
They were already there. And they already had a top three guy if they wanted it.
The similarity is this: if they did it this year, it'd be a much bigger jump.
Yep.
Would it cost less?
I mean, that did?
Well, that cost them a first.
Right.
And they were not a good team. This would cost them a first, and they are a very good team. Although they did finish 9-7 that year with Kyle Orton.
I see what you mean.
The pick wasn't that bad. The point is,
next year's pick will be lower.
Next year's pick, we would think. We don't know. We would think it'll be later. But again, like, this year it would be about moving out of the second class and upgrading to first class. Or the belief that that's first class and other guys are not as good or not as versatile or not as complete. And in the Watkins year, here's a great thought experiment. Ready? Let's do it this way. They move up in the Watkins year, and they take Mike Evans.
Okay.
How do we talk about that? Listen, I know...
Because he went before 9, too.
I know the unpredictability means that we don't know if Marvin Harrison Jr. will be better than Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze. The reality is, if any one of those three has Sammy Watkins' career, it's not worth the trade. But if any one of those three has Mike Evans' career or Beckham pre-injury career, then they are worth it.
Right.
What happens if Watkins had Sammy Watkins' career? Are people, because we lived that, sitting here saying, oh, Mike Evans is still on the team, so maybe they wouldn't need a receiver.
Right, yeah, I was going to say.
That's worth pointing out. The Julio Jones trade, Julio Jones ended up being worth it. And I know, like, a lot of the case against trading up is we don't know what's going to happen. I don't disagree. But go look at these last couple drafts. Receiver busts are not common.
Not lately, they're not.
It's not common lately.
Yeah, no.
And if you find a receiver bust, you usually find him on a team that doesn't have answers at quarterback anyway.
The game I like to play with the 2014 draft, because again, I just can't, 9-4, it's just so different, is what if the Bills that year were at 28? Because this is the draft, this is the trade that we are talking about them doing right now, is you move up from 28 to go get one of the top three guys. And maybe it's close to the same from what that draft was. Because I remember thinking about Evans and Beckham. I didn't think they were ever going to get Watkins. I was thinking about Evans and Beckham as guys that they could pick at 9, but they were already in position. So imagine they were at 28. 28, who, by the way, ended up being Kelvin Benjamin. That he was the 28th pick that year. Imagine the Bills were at 28, and they said, let's go trade 28, our first next year, plus some other stuff, and let's go get one of the top three receivers. Let's say they get to 12 or 11, which is where Beckham went. Are we happy?
He's a lot better than Kelvin Benjamin.
He was way better than Kelvin Benjamin.
He's one of the best receivers of all time when he started his career.
He got injured, and it flamed out once he got to Cleveland, and you never know how that would have
went. And then he got good again with the Rams and got hurt again.
But that would have been a good trade. They would have got an all-time level talent, and you would hope things would go different than they did with New York. He had the most receiving yards in NFL history in the first 3 years of his career. That would have been, that's the move.
And with
it's not to get Watkins, it's trading from Benjamin to Beckham. That's the move they would be making today. With, again, the hope that Odunze would not have the injury problems and have a longer career.
Yeah. I also think it's worth pointing out, you know, as you say, these receivers, and I'm not going to be upset if they stay at 28 and take the best guy on the board. I'm not going to be too upset if they double dip, and Matt Parrino today has them taking Worthy and Leggett. Sorry, I have to double check who Matt had. Adonai Mitchell, it was two receivers.
The look
trading up in the first and in the second in his mock draft today. Like, so there's such a need there. Oh, sorry, Brian Thomas Jr. and Xavier Worthy. Imagine that happens.
That is
some train cars on this thing, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm. It's a very strange spot because I'm all the analytics, all the stuff, all the. I think all that has merit. All the arguments against trading up have a lot of merit. However, I do think they are too broad brush, too stroked, whatever. It's too broad of a brush. A team trading up from 11 to 7 is not the same as a team trading from 28 to 7. The future pick is not the same. The scenarios are not the same. Trading up for a tackle or a guard or a defensive end is not the same as a receiver. Quarterback is already green lit. We are pretty much at, you can do it if it's a quarterback. And wide receiver, as a position, is closing in.
Is it yellow?
So yesterday, Amon-Ra St. Brown got $30 million a year. The instant reaction is, whoa, CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson are about to hit 35, 40. Once Justin Jefferson hits 40, you don't know how to get Justin Jefferson, right? I don't know how to get that guy. Is Marvin Harrison going to be that good? If I take him, can I expect him to be the best receiver in football? That might be asking a lot, but you're giving yourself a shot at it, and you're taking. It's the same as quarterback, except with a higher likelihood of hitting. There will be four or five quarterbacks taken in this first round. How many will be good? Maybe two. Maybe two will be worth signing to a second contract. The top four or five receivers in this class, how many will be good? Four out of five? I mean, receivers are more likely to hit. So
it'll be more than a couple.
I'm just like sitting here every day making the case for why. I guess I'm making the case for why I will defend them for trading up.
Is it your favorite idea though?
I wouldn't even say that.
It's just not right.
Sure, my favorite idea is to have the best possible receivers on the team. So,
which if that's the case, then that is, I think, going and getting Rome Odunze.
But if you tell me I can choose between Odunze or Matt Parrino's Brian Thomas Jr. and Xavier Worthy, I mean, I'm happy either way. And one of them, I get two receivers, and that gives me two chances to have great weapons and diversified attack for Josh Allen in this offense. It comes down to, I'm not here to tell you that it's smart. I'm telling you that I will defend it when they do it. If, in fact, they go up there and our draft party erupts, you're not going to hear a word from me about how, well, you know, and a little more context, Joe. If I sit here from... with you, early February until late April, talking draft. If they trade up tonight, we don't get to do that next year. What are we going to talk about?
Right.
I am personally willing to sacrifice the ability to talk about a first-round pick next year if it brings Marvin Harrison Jr. All right, I make peace with it.
Yep.
That's a personal sacrifice right there.
What did they do the Epinesa year?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, no, that was different because they had Diggs.
That was Diggs.
So
that was a trade for Diggs.
They had Diggs.
Yeah. Worth it.
I didn't think of that part of it. A year from now, what the heck?
The Sabres
are we talking about second-round running backs?
No, the Sabres will be in the playoffs. Perfect.
Okay, listen. You thought there was pressure on the Sabres before? If the Bills trade their first-round pick next year, the pressure on the Sabres is tenfold because it will be up to them to keep everybody interested next spring.
That's right. Jim in Rochester. Hey, Jim, good morning.
Hey, good morning, fellas. I drive around in a truck all day, so I've been thinking about different things because I listen to you guys all day, the whole channel.
Thanks, Jim.
All day long. But I got two things that I want to ask you. I want to move up if we're going to carry extra defensive ends and offense and defensive tackles when it's game day. But if they sit back and take two receivers, I'll do that if they're going to carry extra wide receivers when it's game day. Because now you can use multiple weapons. You know what I'm saying?
Instead
of, you know, so that there's my scenario on the move up. If they do that, I'm willing to go up to the top three guys, the big three. But if they do make a big jump, does it flip the draft on its head? And now Kansas City says, we're going to.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden San Francisco's like, we're going to lose Ayuk. We're jumping in too. Does it flip the back teams that are loaded already with a quarterback to jump up and mess up the whole slotting of where guys are supposed to go? Does it trigger something? Because that's what I want to know. I think if they did go up big, I think Kansas City follows. I think San Francisco might follow because these guys are so good that – I don't want a guy – I would love to get Marvin Harrison Jr. because Peyton talks with Josh already. And you know Peyton and Marvin Harrison talk all the time. So you would have a pedigree feeding down to Marvin Harrison Jr. and with Josh. I think it's a win-win, and I'll take a Doomsday or I'll take Neighbors. Any one of those guys. But I think if we sit back and we fall and we take what settles to us, then I think we have to take multiple guys because they're lacking what those other guys have. These guys are too expensive now, and we have to find ways to be cheap so that we can solidify all the other positions that we've let go.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. On cap savings, like let's relate this to the Bills. They absolutely love Gabe Davis, and if the idea of losing Diggs was always a possibility, they would have loved, I would imagine, to keep Gabe, and they couldn't because of the financials. He got too expensive. Right. To me, there's that the lesson to be learned in there is, yeah, we took a guy in the fourth round. He was a smash hit. We loved everything about him. He wanted to stay, and we just couldn't afford it because the position is too expensive.
You think they would have done that differently if Diggs was already gone?
I don't know about that. I wonder, but it's tough to know. You know, they brought in Curtis Samuel for about half of Gabe.
Right.
Anyway. Thanks, Jim, for the phone call. In terms of the dominoes, I've seen a little bit of predicted chaos. Daniel Jeremiah says...
Predicted chaos.
Yeah, Daniel Jeremiah says a bunch of trades up for tackles. And we know these receivers are in the mix. And every year somebody falls that's not supposed to fall. Whether that's Aaron Rodgers going... No, he's not going first. He's going 24th. If Jaden Daniels doesn't go 2 to Washington because they changed their mind, where does he go? If J.J. McCarthy doesn't go to the Giants at 6, how far does he go? Does a team that could take a quarterback, like, all of a sudden enter the mix? Dallas. I've seen Dallas mocked to take Bo Nix. Is Dallas really going to draft a quarterback? What teams are candidates for the Aaron Rodgers, where they draft a first-round quarterback instead of supplementing their guy that's their starter.
Interesting.
Dallas has been mentioned as that.
Yeah.
Who else could take quarterback? Could Denver?
The Rams?
Could the Raiders? Could the Rams?
What's Stafford, 37? They could do that. Could... If Minnesota doesn't get a quarterback at 11, they could do it at 23, I guess. That'd be weird, but who else? Detroit? Goff? Schefter reported yesterday that Goff is not getting an extension. At least not right now. So,
and there was,
they love him, so I don't think they're in the mood to try to replace him immediately.
They took a guy last year. Did they take Hendon Hooker?
They took Hendon Hooker.
In the third?
Yeah, and he had injury stuff.
Okay.
But he was like...
But that was a third-round quarterback.
Third-round quarterback that probably would have went higher if he didn't... I think he missed the whole year with like a knee injury. Like, part of his thing was he was really injured. Can I rule out the Niners doing it?
I wouldn't rule out the Niners. I mean, round is tough.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, if they want to keep the cheap quarterback thing going and not pay him... But Dallas is good. Dallas is good because they're talking really weird about Dak Prescott. Really weird. What did Jerry Jones say yesterday? Something about the option?
He said he's an option quarterback. He likes to have, basically, like, he's running the option. What Dallas does is they wait on their contract extensions, and it costs them money.
Yeah, because they wait till the last second.
They do.
Everybody.
They could have paid... Oh, sorry. This was the point I wanted to make about how I finally got there. Sometimes I just forget stuff because I'm an idiot. I'm just thinking about train noises too much. Here's your first sign that receiver is creeping in on quarterback. It's the Devonta Smith extension. He got it a year early.
Yeah.
He got it after 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Rashad Bateman just did also. Now, that's an injury one.
Yeah, it's a smaller deal.
But what happened to quarterbacks? Quarterbacks went from play the fourth, fifth-year option, then pay the guy to, okay, pay the guy before the fifth-year option to, with Allen and Mahomes, pay him after year three. They moved up the timetable to pay these elite quarterbacks to try and save money from them hitting it big, and we just saw it with a receiver, Devonta Smith.
Yep.
That's your sign. Sign the guys as soon as you can before the market explodes them. It's what the Cowboys do not do. They picked up Micah Parsons' fifth-year option. Okay, get him closer to free agency. Good luck. Closer and closer, more and more contracts, the passage of time, salaries climb. Receivers are closing in on quarterbacks, and Devonta Smith is your proof. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550. We'll talk with Nate Geary. We got draft coverage all day. It is draft day. We're excited.
Talk with Nate Geary or yell with Nate Geary?
Yell with Nate Geary. We'll see. Love Nate. Love talking to Nate. We yell at each other on pregame.
Until he tells us that he wants them to draft the defensive tackle from UTEP or wherever he's from. Not UTEP. Newton, Illinois.
Jerzon Newton.
Orange helmet.
Hey, I'm sure he'll be a nice player. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550.
I have a video of Leggett saying that he's met with you guys four or five times, and you guys have told him if he's there at 33, you're taking him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a great conversation. You know, I definitely said that to him and about 50 other guys. You know, like, it's actually a lead-in question. So when we draft you at 33, what happens now? And then there's a bunch of questions that happen after that, you know? So, yeah, part of the process.
Wait a minute. What was all that one in a million talk?
Panthers coach Dave Canales admitting they've told 50 guys we're going to take you at 33. Oh, no, that's just part of the question. It is. I'd imagine it is a whirlwind for a player, though, right? Here we are saying, man, I wonder who the Bills are going to take. And if you're Brian Thomas Jr., you're today thinking, I wonder who's going to take me. 10 different teams? Could it be a team I didn't even talk to because they made a board? We didn't think he'd be there. We just took him at 26, whatever. Exciting times. It is draft day. We'll have our official draft party at Resurgence tonight. Sources indicate more than 100 sheet pizzas have been ordered.
Wow.
It's a lot of pizza.
That is a lot.
And I'm
100 sheet pizzas?
Yes.
How many slices of pizza per sheet pizza? Do some pizza analytics here.
Do it on the trade value chart. What can you get? How many sheet pizzas to get up to, you know, a keg? I think they also have enough beer.
I just discovered last year that, like, other cities don't do sheet pizzas. That's like a Buffalo thing, I guess. Or at least, I was in two places.
It's like a Northeast thing? There's no way.
Maybe it's a Northeast thing. Nashville was one city, and then there's another one that I was at where like it just doesn't exist.
You said, can we have a sheet pizza? And they said, what's that?
They literally did not know what I was talking about. Yes.
Wow.
Full sheet pizza has 40 slices, by the way. So we are talking...
like 4,000 slices of pizza?
That's a lot of pizza. That's a lot of pizza.
It's a big party.
How many pieces of pizza do you guys put away in off of a sheet?
3,000.
Because I feel like sheets are different than like regular pizzas.
Agree. I am hunting. Well, first off, you got to go for the analytics of people that are going to hunt the outside pieces and leave the middle.
Well, you want the outside pieces
for sure. You want
the middle pieces. We need a like crust inside the pizza. Some sort of invention that will
let you hold it better.
Yeah.
Do like a spiral pizza. Where crust like wraps around.
It's a great idea. The spiral pizza. I'm in.
I feel like you'd have to cook it long ways and then wrap it.
Maybe you could make it like the floor plan of an office tower that has a courtyard in the middle. In a little interior crust.
Right.
And then in the middle, you could put a dish of blue cheese in the middle.
There you go.
Like interior crust.
Interior crust. So if you have an inside office, you still have a window.
Right.
Because you want some crust. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. It is draft day. Coverage, of course, here on WGR throughout. We'll take more of your calls. Brad in South Carolina is next up on the phones. Hey, Brad, good morning.
Hey, Jeremy, how's it going? I just wanted to mention, you made a really good point, and I want to kind of elaborate on that. You mentioned that we were kind of behind the eight ball as far as wide receivers, and we haven't really been going after them when we should have the last few years. And I'm thinking that they just did not want to kind of ruffle the feathers of Diggs because he's such an alpha dog and he would get upset if we tried to get another number one wide receiver. And what are your thoughts on that?
I don't agree, just because whenever Diggs was asked about the idea of DeAndre Hopkins or Odell Beckham, he wanted them and he wanted the team to be as good as they could be.
Okay. All right.
Maybe, it's okay. I mean, I wonder too why they didn't. Maybe it didn't fall that way. You know, 3-4 years of the board not falling your way. If you're a GM that has a job and you feel safe, which Bean has to feel safe, right? If you're a GM and you feel safe, it's like you go into your meetings and you say, guys, 3 years we've been waiting and it has not fallen our way. We can wait again this year, but I might not want to wait. I might not want to. Bean trades up all the time in the first and the second, so he's not above it. You might even wish that he was, but he's not.
Right.
So, and with Diggs... I mean, I feel like I definitely remember that with Beckham, maybe not with Hopkins, but he's always been supportive of, I would think, better players.
They had Beckham in for a visit, right? He was here.
Yeah, he went to Josh's house.
Yeah, he went to Josh's house. He was here. So, yeah. We know who Bean is, right? Six drafts in. No, five drafts. This is the sixth. He's made 6 first-round picks, so it's 5 drafts. We know who he is. He wants to move up.
He's traded up on every pick except for
Ed Oliver and Rousseau. So 4 of the 6 first-round picks he's moved up, and there's a bunch of second-round picks.
Including twice in the same draft. He had 2 first-rounders in 1 draft and traded up both times.
Right. So, like, I'm just not even... See, like, I don't even want to spend a lot of time talking about them trading down. I just can't... I can't see him doing that. I can't see him not having a guy that is there... 3 picks away, 5 picks away,
yeah,
where he's going to go get him rather than, well, let me just play the field. Let me play the feud, see if he's there at 28, and if he's not there, then I'll move down. That is not how this dude operates.
I also think, for anyone that says you want to trade down, what you're saying without saying it is that you hope the board doesn't fall their way, because that's when they do it. I hope they trade down. They only trade down if they don't have somebody they like. They only trade down if there's not the guy they would have gone up 2 spots for. Right. The fact that they go up 2 to 4 spots every year, or 4 out of 6 number one picks, indicates that when somebody gets close, he doesn't wait. He goes and gets it. And if you get all the way to your pick, they either were not able to get up for the guy they were trying to get up for, or the board didn't fall correctly. And if we go back to the James Cook draft pick, that's what that had to be. A run of receivers right in front of them. It was an obvious idea for a receiver. A run of receivers. They traded down twice and took a pass-catching running back.
And there's a reason we remember that so well, by the way. It's because it's the only time I think they've ever done it.
Trade down?
Can we think of another time where they've moved down? They moved down twice to get James Cook. Have they moved down in a meaningful round any other time. They've never done it in the first round.
Maybe it happens tonight and we have to reset everything we think, but I mean, I'm with you.
And I've said, there is one outcome where I am definitely okay with moving down, but it's one outcome. It is Doctor Strange going through all the, you know, different hypotheticals when they're fighting Thanos in Avengers. And like, there's one outcome here that works. That's it. And it's only if you are getting at least a third round pick back for moving down, and then you are double dipping at wide receiver.
And going that is for your third to move higher up into the second.
Sure. Or even not, if you want to go, if you trade down to 38 and you are going to draft a receiver at 38, you're going to draft Leggett, and then you draft another receiver at 60, and now I have a third round pick, I am all good with that. But that's a very, I feel like it is, that is easier said than done. I'm not just assuming they can accomplish that. I think you're finding a needle in a haystack, I think, almost trying to get that exact situation. Sure, if you could pull it off, fine, but you deviate from that at all, you get a day three pick and double dip. I'm like, why did you do that? You don't need another day three pick. If you move down and then pick one wide receiver, well, now I'm nervous because now the most critical hole on my roster, I have one guy that I am hoping takes over, and it was the ninth player at the position draft. Like, where did I end up picking the guy? To me, the only way I'm on board with them moving down is if they are going to double dip and they are getting at least a third round pick for doing it.
There's also, for me, the context of the rest of the field. If they were to trade down in that scenario and get a third, we'd be happy, right? Okay, fine. We get it. Tomorrow becomes a two-pick second round. Did I watch as the Chargers, Jets, Steelers, Jaguars, Ravens, and Chiefs got weapons and I traded down? Because that's going to make me feel less good. The context matters, too. I see a mock draft. Peter Schrager has the Bills taking Laiatu Latu as he falls that far, and I look at the context of the draft, and I don't get that mad because the receivers, a lot of them went to the NFC because I think the Steelers take a tackle. Like I'm focused on the arms race and how the conference has been an arms race for a while, and the Bills have not added very many weapons. Then there's Bean, of course, telling Pat McAfee at the combine when he said, you guys look for weapons. He goes, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking for weapons at the combine. That doesn't have to mean first round. I mean,
they'll get him eventually.
You say the top three guys that they even Odunze did go to the combine, and he stayed late to make a point. He worked harder. He wanted to prove to everybody he could get a thing done. He said he could get done. He stayed late. They're gonna love him. I totally believe every single report I hear that they would do whatever they could for him. The question is, can they do it? Are they willing to do it, or will they back off?
See Sam Mountain's tweet about Xavier Worthy?
That he's moved up 10 to 15 spots in the last 24 hours.
Yep.
And that
overnight.
And that he's pointing out Bill Belichick saying 24 hours out, the real stuff starts to come, makes him think Worthy moving up 10 to 15 spots is legit.
Yep. I do not believe the Bills will have the chance to draft him at 28. The way that's all trending, the way that's all sounding, I think he's gone. They can move up for him. Is that what Nate had yesterday in his mock draft?
Yep. Bills move up for Worthy was Nate's. Nate joins us at 9. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Blocked inside the penalty area. Braithwaite! It's in, surely it is now! Dominic Calvert-Lewin for Everton slides it over the line. And Everton have the lead in the Merseyside derby. There's the header, there's the second! Dominic Calvert-Lewin! Batters a header home! Everton are in dreamland!
You need to play both goals, huh?
Everton
really?
beats Liverpool.
What was the final scoreline, Joe?
Josh, are you an Everton fan?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's why I texted you guys yesterday.
All right.
Because, you know,
you feel right now how I will feel if the Bills take a defensive tackle. Like, oh.
They're getting relegated, Everton?
Nope.
No.
They are 8 points out of relegation.
Congratulations.
Zone. They are very much not getting relegated.
16th will be a lot of fun.
Happy draft day. I took my shot at Joe for Liverpool yesterday, asking why he had never put them on fraud watch, which was a little bit of a shot at Liverpool, but it was mainly a shot at your fraud watch because you called the Niners a fraud all year long.
I did.
They go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Maybe you weren't wrong.
The Titans were the originators.
That's
though,
right.
Of fraud
That's right.
Watch.
And then the Dolphins have taken the mantle of like the fraud watch team.
That one's a win so far, I think. I'm not putting my own favorite team on Fraud Watch.
I feel like they were a contender.
It was the magic of Klopp.
You know what?
At the end,
I can't get through this Bills wide receiver big board unless you put a couple of these guys on Fraud Watch. Give me some Fraud Watch.
You want some Fraud Watch on this list? Some
Joe's wide receiver Fraud Watch.
All right, Adonai Mitchell is on Fraud
Watch.
Whoa! And who else are we going to put on Fraud Watch? Troy Franklin is on Fraud Watch. Yeah, big numbers, but Oregon. I don't know if I trust you with all that. Franklin and Mitchell, those are my Fraud Watch guys. Not Liverpool.
They deserve a Fraud Watch.
I'm not celebrating 16th, but hey, it is always great.
Yeah, whatever. You beat a rival.
It's great.
It's like when the Bills beat the Dolphins to keep them out of the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
Or beat the Jets when they had Fitz.
In 2015? Right.
Yeah, when they beat Fitz and the Jets.
I mean, Liverpool's still got a chance, right?
No, they don't.
I know. I just wanted to hear you say it.
They couldn't lose that game and have a chance. It's the end, too. This is like when UNC beat Coach K in his final game times a billion because the team that they're playing is actually not even that good.
803-0550. Ron, we'll get to your call. Nate Geary joins us. He's on coverage of the draft tonight. We'll be at the draft party calling in, checking in. Who's calling first? We got giveaways.
I can call first.
We got the big board. Everybody going to this party tonight, the wide receiver draft big board is big.
It's big.
It almost doesn't fit in the bed of my truck.
Yeah.
It's a big board.
It does fit, though, doesn't it?
It does fit.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it does fit.
Do you have to, like, keep it down somehow because, like, is the wind going to grab it?
Well, I got a tonneau cover. It sits on the wheel wells across.
Okay.
On it. And I've got a toolbox, which is one of the reasons it can't fit in long ways anyway.
Yeah.
So wide receiver big board making its public debut.
Big board. Big amount of pizza.
The big board.
Yeah.
Think all the people that are going to have the honor of taking the names off this board tonight.
Yeah.
Jeremy and Joe.
Neighbors, Harrison, Adunze at the top. Our board, though, if they trade up for Rome Adunze, will we keep taking the names off after that? It will have served its purpose, I think.
I will be too busy at BuffaloBillsShop.com pre-ordering the Adunze jersey.
Yes, right.
Let the record show, by the way. One of the things I wanted the Bills to do this offseason was add receivers that were worthy of wearing the number one. They needed a number one. And what happened? Ooh. They went out and signed Curtis Samuel, and he picked number one. And now Adunze.
What number did he wear?
He wears number one.
So he can wear zero.
That's not bad.
His name starts with the letter O.
It's not bad. They need to draft somebody cool enough to wear a cool number.
Who wears the worst number?
That's my level of football analysis for you.
Does anyone on here wear like a number like 86 or something?
Who wears the worst number?
Because that guy needs to get taken off the
board. Marvin Harrison Jr. is a 5.
Do we know the numbers of these guys? What's Neighbors? 8?
I think so.
Okay. Adunze's 1. What's Brian Thomas Jr.?
11.
Okay, Leggett, 17.
That sounds right. Adonai Mitchell's 5.
Okay, Ladd McConkey.
McConkey wears in the 80s, doesn't he?
Off my board in a second.
Xavier Worthy wears number 1.
Ladd McConkey wears 84.
Wow.
Out of here.
Red flag.
Out of here.
Keon Coleman, what's he wearing these days?
I think he was 5, was he not?
4.
4, okay.
Troy Franklin, I think he's 11.
10?
He's 11.
He's 11? Okay. Ricky Pearsall?
We got a break. All right.
All right, yeah.
Back with more very hard-hitting analysis.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.